Okay.
Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is about 1:35. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the state capitol on December 13th, Tuesday, for an informal hearing on the NSP case number 0PU-16-145.
Oop, that's the wrong one. It's the 071.
Oh, so it's, okay, NSP case number 07-776. Why is this filed under that then? Anyway, all right, we'll figure this out. I do not have any opening comments on this case. I'll check with my colleague, Commissioner Christman, to see if he does.
I do not, except to ask, so it's the transmission one we're doing first?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so then we'll turn it over to Commissioner Kalk, who has the portfolio holder.
For now.
For now. And we'll let him lead the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to kind of elaborate a bit, it is a bit confusing because both the 1330, that's military time for you, Julie, the 130 and the 230 are both with requests from the company XL to modify case number PU07776. The first one is to modify on the transmission line. The second one is for generation. So I kind of broke them out that way. And I'm guessing the company probably filed different requests to amend because we might look at these differently. And I don't know that, but that's just maybe what I'm guessing. So I believe that – I know I talked to Jerry advisory staff a little bit. We've talked a little bit, him and Lana. I don't know if Jack and Sarah really have a case to present, but I know that the company probably does. So I see Allison and Dave here. The only thing I would say is the opening comments is the – you know, there wasn't much of a filing for your request to amend. It was a pretty short, straightforward request. And so I consider myself open-minded to the discussion, but I will say that if you haven't already – I know you're going to make a case about the transmission tariff and how that already flows. We get the bite at that. But I will say that one of the biggest challenges I've had as the OMS rep for this commission is how just because MISO is a review process doesn't mean it's our review process. And I've had a lot of discussion with MISO. I don't like where they're going. When it comes time to a MISO vote, I usually end up on the outside. Or an OMS vote, I usually end up on the short side of it. And in dealing with a different RTO, we're now in against that RTO and on behalf of Otter Tail, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. So that's the argument I think that really I'm not buying into right now. So I'm sure you're going to address that, but that's probably, I guess, the key point for me that I don't know why I'd want to give up my authority responsibility to MISO. So with that, I don't know if Allison or Dave, who's ever next to proceed.
I think I'll start.
Fair enough.
Dave Cedarquist with Xcel Energy. I did want to start with just providing a little bit of context, just make sure we're all kind of reminded of where we came from on this. But back in 2008, when we were working on a settlement of our 2007 rate case filing, we included a provision in that settlement. We're all fairly aware of it. It's the ADP obligation piece where we agreed to file an ADP for all significant generation and transmission projects. And we defined in the settlement significant for generation to be 50 megawatts of capacity or greater and transmission lines 50 miles long or greater. And the intention of that part of the settlement was, again, to inform, involve, and engage the North Dakota Commission in some of these large projects, particularly the generation projects. You know, back in 2007, we hadn't filed a rate case for, you know, 14 or 15 years. And so, you know, there was resource plans had just started to be being filed, and I'm not even sure how many we had actually filed with the North Dakota Commission as a courtesy at that point in time. But there just weren't a lot of avenues that we were, you know, sharing those plans with the commission here. And so this became our sort of our goal, is to use the ADP statute to sort of institutionalize that process of involving the commission. Now, it's been, what, 7, 8, 9 years since that time. Things have changed. We've actually learned a lot, too, through the filing of several ADPs on how this can work best. And And that's kind of why we're here today.
When you say learned a lot, do you mean learned from previous mistakes, or you just know what the commission's going to do? Because the ADPs, we told you to file them, then you filed one after the fact, and we dismissed it that it wasn't timely. You continue to build resources that you know we don't like. So when you say learned a lot, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, part of what I mean is, you know, when we
filed... Or do you just know what we're going to say when it gets to the rate case?
No, it's just that it's a lot more sort of, I'll use the word cumbersome, process than we had envisioned at the start. You know, most of these projects involve all the jurisdictions we're working in, and so to time things and align things between North Dakota and Minnesota and Wisconsin and everything, sometimes it's not as easy as you think it's going to be, and you get signals from one commission at one time and from another, and you know, with the Hankinson issue there, this commission thought those were good projects. We ended up not even building them, and so we've just learned a little bit that it's not quite as slick maybe.
From your viewpoint, but I think from the commission's viewpoint, it did exactly what they'd intended it to do.
Perhaps, yeah.
I think it's the viewpoint that you bring to the argument that...
Yeah. No, I agree. And as I said, too, we've become a lot more diligent about filing resource plans with this commission, so, you know, that's changed a little bit the involvement that the commission...
Well, we don't rule on resource plans. We take it as a note.
Right.
And because we don't want to prejudge stuff till it comes timely. So just filing the resource plan, I don't think gives you the feedback. It's the ADP that gives you the feedback where we're at.
Yep. We think that the resource plans that we have filed have been somewhat helpful, though, in at least informing the commission here and keeping you somewhat involved. We feel like we do get some feedback from you guys. It might be informal, but it's better than what we had when we first forged this. And I'm not trying to say that the ADP obligation we have, we're not here to challenge that or suggest that we no longer use it. What we're here today for is because we think that we can bring some flexibility to that commitment. We can streamline it. We don't want the company or the commission to be expending a lot of time and resources on projects, you know, that may not come to fruition, that may change dramatically over time, or in the case of the transmission project, this is something that went through that very robust planning and approval process at MISO, and the impact on North Dakota was fairly insignificant by the time you take our 9% of the project that NSP Wisconsin owns and you shift it over to Minnesota, and then you allocate 5% to North Dakota, the numbers start to get fairly small. And so that might have been an opportunity for us to avoid, you know, a 2 or 3 month ADP review for not a lot of reason there.
You mentioned the resource plans. Let me just ask you this. When you submit a resource plan and we don't approve it because it's not our process, but so it obviously doesn't get denied either, do you take that as any, even the slightest bit of an approval of what's in there, or just a letter that you sent and basically almost a no response?
I think we try to understand the response in whatever way we get it from the North Dakota Commission. We try to take that and read into it as much as we can as to, you know, how you guys react to certain elements of that plan. We're not taking the fact that you don't officially act on it as a tacit sort of approval. I wouldn't go that far, but we do try to be sensitive to how the commission is reacting to those plans. So, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if it would be more helpful to get some kind of formal action, but I understand, why you might not feel that way too. So, but on the other hand, it might complicate things too. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is a bit of a separate subject, but I don't know what's preventing us from formally responding to those, if that would be helpful to the company. I think the worst case scenario is for us to informally respond or respond in any way at all and have it provide a message, a meaningful message to the company. Because we don't have to ask. I view it as in a Minnesota process, and that's how I don't really believe that we have much influence over it, and I don't respond much at all on those on your resource planning. So we should probably have a separate discussion on just the resource plan issue, and maybe it does spin off from this and provide maybe another tool to provide feedback on projects that are in the pipeline in a more formal way. And if it does give us an opportunity to go on record against some things officially for the company and for Minnesota, then Don and I think maybe we should look at that.
I would say that's why the commission did that ADP for the transmission line, is they wanted a way to respond. So they required it in the settlement, the ADP for transmission.
Right.
To my knowledge, the only thing we've ever responded to on filings is staff memos, maybe two, one from Mike and one from Chris way back when. So the informal stuff you're talking about, maybe you and Mike talking on the phone, but the commission is only responded twice, to my knowledge, and they both times were saying this is not what we feel as staff. So I think that's one of the reasons it reinforces why the commission did this, is they wanted a venue to do it. That's why they put ADPs in the 2008 rate case.
Mm-hmm. And it does, so like on the solar stuff, that's sort of where how that felt, ended.
Right.
And from our standpoint, this one, I do, not to get ahead of the conversation, but I do see the transmission, this particular transmission one, being a little different because of the MISO ballot process and the, in some respects, the hands of the company are sort of tied to this.
See, so that's where I think we have.
It's not as much advanced, The advanced part is sort of gone. This is happening. And so that's why I think our time is so awkward, is because the advanced determination prudence. Ideally, as I was thinking through this, how would we have sent the message to MISO in an advanced way to express our concerns if we have them on this project versus, once it's been decided by the powers that be there and then this allocation and the companies on the hook for it, into MISO.
Well, that's why I think the 50 miles was to it, because we track the stuff through the OMS process the same time they're tracking it. So we'll get visibility through OMS and MISO before the commission will get visibility on it.
Right.
But that was my.
If we fail on those venues and it comes through and it gets passed and the company is doing it,
then we go to FERC directly.
And we say no ADP, then what?
Then we have a decision set up with FERC. If they build it anyway. But that's where.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, if it is a MISO jurisdictional, FERC jurisdictional thing, the filed rate doctrine probably would quite possibly preempt any decision we make on that, regardless.
But that was my setup in the whole thing for you to make your case that I'm not sold, because I'm not ready to say, to give all that up, just not for me personally.
Yeah. Well, and we clearly didn't contemplate a project like this one back in 07 when we were putting this requirement together. So we were even wondering for sure if that particular transmission line, if this obligation even applied to that one.
To the construct of the 2008.
Right, because it wasn't, we had a very small ownership of one small segment of the line. If you looked at our ownership percentage or portion, it was not 50 miles. The obligation wasn't clear about whether we had to have an ownership stake in it. So we were just really wondering, and that's really kind of what prompted we initially talked with staff about, what to do about this, and the recommendation was to, well, why don't you consider filing a request for a motion to at least amend the original commitment. So we did for this one, and as Commissioner Kalk mentioned before, it was largely because of the fact that it had gone through this robust 2011 MTEP process review. And as I said, by the time we allocate it down to North Dakota, these dollars get fairly small. I think it was $80,000 in 2017 would be the impact
See, that's the part where I don't see it such a big deal. If something's already cleared this process, I think back to those CapEx lines. When the ADP came in for the CapEx lines, we said, yep. Hold on Brookings till it comes out of MTEP. Brookings came out, we approved it. I don't think that that's onerous for anyone. I just don't see it. Because
when you're saying go through it anyways?
Well, sure, because then you go through and you get the visibility for all three of us to see it, as opposed to the one MISO rep. And it's a on-the-record thing, so when it comes to the rate case or the transmission filing, it's a layup because you've already given the ADP on it. I think back to those CapEx lines, that was as easy as it could have been.
So here's where I want to just talk a little bit about...
ADP for this line, I don't think that'd be a hard lift.
And so here's where maybe I'll mention the motion that is going to be talked about at 2:30, but that allows the commission to take a look at a project, and if they want to have the ADP filed anyway, fine, no problem, no change. We'd file it, but at least it gives an opportunity and some flexibility to say, oh, yeah, clearly this project doesn't, we don't need to go through the process of having the company file it and having us go through a review process and a noticing process. We're fine with it. So we're not trying to dodge anything. We're just trying to provide that optionality. And I recognize that in this first motion, we weren't providing that. We were actually proposing to take transmission out of the commitment. And so you would never have a chance to say, no, we want to see that. But with our second one, where we provide that optionality.
Let's stay focused on the first one, though, unless we should have noticed them together. Let's make your case here, and then we'll...
Okay. All right. So we would certainly understand with this transmission one if the commission wasn't comfortable striking the transmission investment from the commitment and wanted to go with something more along the lines of, the company has the right to ask for a specific waiver. We would understand that and support that, too.
What was the thought on eliminating it entirely? Just what you've said?
Exactly. These large projects go through a pretty rigorous process anyway, and there's, as Jack mentioned, there's, the potential for the preemption, and that was the main reason, is we're not real sure what would happen if the commission said no anyway on that. Yeah, the other piece...
Well, it would be tested is what would happen. It'd be tested. Yeah. And then the FERC commissioners, you're going to have a whole new slew of commissioners. And depending who's sitting in the FERC, they'd come down differently.
Allison just reminded me, too, that there is a TCR process, too, where the commission has another shot at taking a look at a project and saying yay or nay.
That's even further along, though. I mean, those projects are actually...
being constructed, yeah.
So then you're really down the road. Because if we're going to say no, then it really puts you guys in a pretty...
Right, the risk is on us. If we opt not to file an ADP on a transmission line or a generation, the risk falls on us. We've made a decision to do that, so...
Well, I just think that I appreciate the discussion, and I just look forward to MISO North and South, and nobody knows quite yet what MISO South might come back your way. We might find where XL thinks it's okay, and then you're doing it. We don't think it's okay as a commission, and we voted against it in OMS. I just don't see it that onerous for the transmission to file it, and we track it with the MISO process, and I just don't see it. But maybe that's part of already jumping into the work session. But I'm asking the questions now because I have to be convinced to my earlier setup.
So, Brian, to your point, go through the process, what's gained in that if it's a MISO pre-approved deal? And, say, just take this one for example. It's $80,000 price tag.
Right.
Because I think if we're doing a case-by-case basis, it makes sense to review what the actual facts of the case are. So this one is... gone through that MISO process. It isn't a significant cost to North Dakotans. You might even be able to argue that it falls outside of this level that was required for an ADP in the 2008 settlement.
I think that it's
so
a great
gain.
I think that if during the planning process that the MISO OMS rep and everybody's tracking, it's all good, there's nothing that seems out of the ordinary, there may not be a big gain to it. because you're tracking through it, you agree with it, you come to it. The only gain then I would see is that your colleagues get visibility on it, so when they get to the rate case or the rider, they've already seen it, so, oh, yeah, that's right, we voted for this back then, so it's easier. The gain would be, well, their scenario is you've been fighting this all the way through, then you get to it here, and then you reinforce your decision to our jurisdiction, and then we have to decide then what we want to do.
Would you, so I can understand not liking this, that automatically takes transmission out of the ADP requirement. Because I think it should be a case, if anything, it should be case by case. So you always have the option to go to the ADP, but you also have the option, if everybody agreed or if a majority agreed, to skip the ADP.
Well, and that's the other option, is that we can simply provide on a case-by-case basis, and that was one of our thoughts in the first place, with the, even with the transmission line of, here's the specific line, it's 182 miles long, you know, so it's over the 50 miles, here's the cost for North Dakota, and we can look at it. So you'll have the facts in front of you when you decide whether you want an ADP on it or not. And at that point, it could be, no, let's not go down that route of having an ADP.
And the other option, too, is you always have the transmission cost recovery rider that you could nix it out of if it was through, you know, if you didn't agree with it in MISO, in OMS. You could just say, no, I don't know what the company, then it would go to FERC, I guess, or the company would have to figure out what to do. I'm not sure.
It's a mess.
I think just to further clarify maybe that point and then ask a question, I do think we don't want to get lost in the point, well, this is only $80,000. That's not a good reason, because if it was a really dreadful idea and it passes at $80,000, well, then what about 90 or 100? And then where do you draw the line on doing things that go completely against what we see for North Dakota.
I mentioned that only to say that is a factor. It's one of many, but
yeah.
It is.
But, you know, the option part, like, is on the generation side of the request here today, gives us that option. My question for staff is there a faster way to, rather than change this, is there something that we can do with the ADP where we look at it and it's just so obvious we don't need to go through as long of a process, almost similar to what they're suggesting, but can we just, is there a quick way to do an ADP?
Well, you guys are advocacy staff, you're advisory, but that was my point to when we get those CapExes went through very quickly because we had already did walk the dog on some of those.
Know the answer.
Brian's
back.
It's yours.
A quick way to resolve any case if there's no disputed facts. It's only when there's a major argument of fact, which is this the lowest cost? Is it reasonable to do this? Do you need it? All of the factual questions. And some of those are answered by the MISO planning process, but some of them specific to the company maybe are never answered by a, MISO or SPP planning process. And so if there's an ADP filed where it's a no-brainer and advocacy staff has nothing to argue, it's quick. It's like any other case.
Okay, so Dave or Allison, do we kind of make mountains out of molehills sometimes? If you have a very simple and what you perceive to be a obvious, clear decision, can you just request ADP and discuss it with staff and have them staff it around and we probably have it on the next agenda meeting and approve it? Or do you think that our process gets too bogged down and that there's going to be details that slow you down much more than what you're requesting to do here?
Well, I think probably be an improvement over what we think the existing situation is, where sometimes it takes weeks or whatever to notice, and obviously to prepare an ADP it takes time too. And we kind of talk like there's always only one ADP going on, but if there's four or five or six going on, then it, you know, that complicates things too. So that's certainly better than nothing. If there was a way for us to even just sort of ask, here's a project, here's the basic facts, what do you think? And that would at least avoid the preparation of a full ADP. And, you know, when we file an ADP, we're going to want to make sure it's thorough to make sure that it is a no-brainer and it's clearly a no-brainer. So that's going to involve a little work on our part. So that would be my response on that, but certainly that would be better.
Well, is this case is this a case in point? I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe it was the company's work, but you filed this in July 28th. It's the end of December, and we're just now having an informal hearing on it. That's 5 months.
I think part of that...
that doesn't suggest that it's a quick process even to have this get this far, which isn't... It's just talking about whether there should be an ADP or not. So, I get what you're saying in terms of it can... We can get bogged down, and it's not always it's not always our fault. Things like Dakota Access happen, and, you know, we get... Or there's a complicated rate case, or there's, you know... staff leave and you've got a staff turnover or whatever. We've got a pretty small staff. So little things can complicate things a lot here.
As we sort of work on settlements, you know, I've kind of learned a lot myself about settlements, and it's always a good idea to make sure you've built in some flexibility, because there always seem to be things that come along down the road that you don't anticipate. And so, you know, a commitment like this is a bit rigid when you just look at it. It's like we're going to be filing an ADP whether it makes sense to or not. And even though you guys are always fairly efficient at getting things done, there's still some effort there. So,
I was just going to say that to your point that it was a settlement agreement that I was not part of. That was, I think, Susan. I know Susan was still here, but she'd just come off her time as head of OMS, and she was adamant about putting this in there because she saw the same things that we're talking about now, that if the commission does not get a bite early, there could be a case where there's a cost allocation fight inside of MISO. OMS is going back and forth. It's even more challenging now with 14 states. So she absolutely wanted you to file with her. That was like, she was adamant about that. And so that's why I queued up my thoughts, because I don't know what's changed. And we've certainly become bogged down in generation ADPs. I don't think transmission ADPs have taken us very long at all. When you request a transmission ADP, you talk to staff, they say, is it worked out here? You put it forward. We decide very quickly, and it moves through. Mm-hmm. Or we put it on hold till MISO settles in.
Well, there is one thing that, you know, this whole RTF filing that will occur at the end of the year, that also creates some uncertainty and change. You know, it's not even, it won't even be clear which assets and which generation will be allocated or in part or fully to North Dakota. And so there's that uncertainty. We've got riders in place now for transmission and renewable. That wasn't in place back then. I think we are being much more diligent about communicating resource planning to you guys, whether it's through the filing of the plan itself or other sessions. And we're, quite frankly, we've filed more rate cases in the last 8 years than we did during the previous 20. So those are the kinds of things that have maybe changed the outlook on or the need for an absolute mandatory ADP. We're not, if you guys want to have ADPs on everything, that option would still be there. We would just propose that the optionality be there, so you could say, and we could request a variance, but we're not going to die on that hill if you guys want to continue with.
Well, your request, that's why I don't know that you can optionality if that's a word. Your request says that order should be amended to remove this requirement. I don't know that we can take that and just wing it to something else.
If I may, Commissioner, part of this came about because they requested a waiver back in July of that ADP requirement. So essentially they asked to waive it. And we found out, or we decided legally, that they weren't able to do that without going back and amending the order. And this was something separate than the next informal that we were going to be talking about. And so that led to this filing to just omit this completely. I suppose at that point in time, we could have just put a waiver at that time. But none of us were really thinking down that path. And then subsequently, then the next thoughts came forward with regards to the generation. And so just to give you guys a little bit of context of time and how this kind of came about, they essentially were looking for a waiver initially. Before it was determined by commission legal staff that that was not a possibility without an amendment to the order.
So they were just seeking a waiver on one thing.
Right. And
on that project.
Correct.
Okay.
And
kind of moved them in this direction.
Right. And I do believe that we could probably do a quicker determination on the ADP process. However, I still think they're probably still legally required to file at this point in time a full ADP application.
My guess is if they had filed an ADP for this project at that time, we'd have already had a decision.
That could be. So, but regardless, there still would have been notice periods, even if we found immediately that this is clearly a prudent decision to make.
It's a company decision. I mean, they got that was your advice, but it's still your. We've crossed them informal to a work session back there again, but it's all good. I guess I just don't see it. So your request says you want to take it away, and I don't see that. But I don't know if my colleagues have any other questions on it, but.
I don't see any specific, no matter what we end up doing, if there's any change to the order, we need to have specific language because we have to have a rate case order that we can go back to and see what it makes you do. So did you provide, I saw you have a proposed order, but the proposed order says grant your motion. Did you, and maybe I'm mixing the two up, but.
No, I looked at that a lot. It lays out the part about there, but it doesn't say I move to strike certain paragraphs
yes.
or whatever. And that's one thing
that's one thing we need. If we're going to consider it, we should have their proposed actual change.
Well, I think my thought at this point is it's easy to write an order.
Okay.
So, but
just, I'm asking them if they have that language to put in the file or give to anybody else for consideration or whatever.
I move we strike paragraphs 1, 2, 3 or something instead of just, because I saw the draft order just said, based on the facts, denied. Well, oh, wait, that's what my order says.
Yeah.
This says approved.
and you know, for the commission's reference, and Pat and I would have to discuss this, but we tend to say, instead of granting a motion and then attaching that to the old rate case order, so people have to look at that and then the next thing and the next thing, it would be reproducing that rate case order with the change incorporated. Right. And so when a company asks, it would be really good to see what they think exactly should happen in that order.
Which you're right. We didn't do that for this one, the hearing at 2:30. We did have the specific language in it. And it was just that we were looking to strike the transmission, like literally the word transmission. But we didn't separately put that in there.
For the record on this case, you would be, it almost sounds like the company would rather or would propose to have the same consideration from the case on at 2:30 as an option for addressing this one.
Yes.
And that would be, that would just provide the commission with the flexibility of granting a waiver on certain at times for the requirement for an ADP on a case-by-case basis.
That's exactly it, because exactly what Jack had said, we were looking for a waiver in the first place. As we worked with staff, it wasn't the right thing to do with the fact that we had an order. We didn't have a rule to waive. We had an order language to look at, and so then we talked with staff and came up with the motion to amend. We did it for all transmission as opposed to the specific case or doing what we did then for the 2:30 case.
Okay. Is there anything that prohibits us from talking about that case? Can we talk about that concept here and get to work on that concept as part of this, or do we have to wait till 2:30 and then talk about that concept?
You can talk about anything related to this case here, and if the concept is part of that, that's fine, but you can't then at 2:30 say, oh, well, we're done talking about it because we had it all figured out half an hour ago. Okay.
Okay. So I guess from my perspective, flexibility is always good. I shouldn't say always. It's most of the times good because it gives you the option to do either or. So
don't object to the company, if it wants the flexibility to ask for a waiver, to do that, and then we can consider it on a case-by-case basis. Do you need to have, I mean, you can still ask us for a waiver on a case-by-case basis anyway, can't you?
No.
You can't ask for a
waiver. Because the order is like a binding thing.
Okay.
There's no waiver procedure. Like in 2008, if the commission would have said, if the company requests to do a waiver, submit it, blah, 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 but they never did that. So you could just modify the order to put it in there and say that, and we would deal with that.
Right.
But then we'd probably get into a protracted hearing about why we in order to get to the waiver, you may be able
taking as much time as you would have if you just did
ADP. ADP, yeah.
Well, and I guess that would be something the company would have to consider.
I just look at, I don't know what the driver of this is, other than to wanting to come in front of us less, because you know what we're going to say. So that's kind of the cynic in me.
I think it's more than that.
Okay.
I think it's more that there's a lot of staff, a lot of company time and staff time go into preparing an ADP and getting ready for a hearing. And on some projects where it is a small dollar amount, a small transmission line, and it just doesn't.
But it can't be the same amount of work when you put something in that you have walked the dog through MISO and the staff is agreement of it. You come in front of us, and I think the work becomes if we want to go right to a hearing, then the work starts. If you just want an informal like this, or even I don't even know that some of these ADPs for transmission even require informals. I remember the previous commission, we didn't even do that. If it was stuff that we were all tracking, we just filed it, we approved it, and we moved through it. So I don't know the work comes unless it's going to be a case, and then I don't know that a waiver would be appropriate anyway.
Well, wouldn't the same, I mean, maybe what I envision being less is the requirement for the notices. So I don't think so.
You have to notice everything.
If you ask for a waiver, you have to notice it?
If someone is against you wanting the waiver.
So we'd still have to notice that?
I think that you would have to couch the language you put in the order to cover how you envision it working. And that's what, if you were going to change the order so you could approve it quick with no notice, one possibility, then that should have been noticed for this request to change the order. I mean, it's all down to whether you've covered that and the public understands, anyone who might care understands what you're thinking about doing it. If you don't, you're probably going to have at least a notice of opportunity, which they don't take long either if it's not a complicated case and you don't have to spend a couple of weeks figuring it out before you can write a notice of opportunity. They take 20 days. Well, maybe they take 30 for Fargo, but, I mean, that's really nothing. But, yeah, you can't just assume that by giving it a different name that the notice requirement is gone.
Well, I feel kind of we've traded positions here because I'm usually the one saying I like ADPs because I do when it comes to generation. And these guys are saying, why are we approving every little dinky project? And now I feel like it's almost we're arguing reverse positions. But I think that in this case, having the option to not have a full ADP, I think is makes sense because of the MISO review process. I also like the option of having it because I do appreciate, Brian, yours and Susan's instincts on having what I'm hearing you say it is kind of like a check on MISO. Not even as much the company, but on MISO.
It's a check you can control because you own it.
Right.
We own the ADPs.
You don't want to give that up across the board, and I understand that. But I think there's also circumstances where you can look at how it was reviewed and look at the implications for customers, one of which is cost, there's others, and determine whether it's, it can end up being a greater cost to customers to go through a ADP case or to just pay that $80,000. So,
I would almost go, if we're going to go to the waiver procedure, I could almost be convinced to just get rid of the ADPs. Don't make them come in front of us for ADPs anymore. If we're going to go that far, to take it away.
You'd go from a case-by-case looking at it to we don't need it at all?
Because then what's going to happen is you're going to see all these waivers coming in for stuff. So if we're going to give them the waiver procedure, just take it away, and then they come back and rate cases and we duke it out.
Well,
I think the waivers will inundate us.
Before we get as far as that kind of a jump, I tend to want to go with the portfolio holder on these things, but I got to ask a couple questions because a statement that, as I understood it, from each of you has me concerned here. Dave, you talked about, when I asked about some kind of expedited ADP process, you said, well, when we file for an ADP, we obviously want to be very thorough. And Allison talked about the amount of staff time into preparing an ADP. So that tells me that if we do this, the request for the waiver, and assuming that it's not the version where it's just completely out of the mix, but it's a request for waiver, that you're not going to put much time into it, and it's not going to be very thorough, and we're likely to get fooled on one of these, because we're only going to get the information that makes it sound very simple and like something that we would like. And then at the end of the day, it's going to be similar to a press release about all the new generation that's being built that we've never even seen applications for.
Well, and we're not talking about generation.
I understand that, but that kind of surprise is what I'm referencing.
No, I understand what you're saying, and it's not a matter. This is just, again, you know, the advanced determination of prudence. So, as Commissioner Fordacek said, when we have a TCR, it's going to be in the transmission lines are going to be in the TCR, and you'll have the opportunity to review it and ask us, you know, have all the information about it at that point. But it's our risk on waiting to that point to have approval of it, because we've already spent money at that point. And so it's in the TCR, there's costs that we've incurred, and if you say no, then that's something the company has to deal with, that risk.
But once we've waived it, it seems to me, myself, just, I don't know about our rules, but I really have to have a good reason then to not support, to take the recovery away from you then later. If I've waived it or given an advance determination of prudence, I always feel somewhat obligated.
Well, I think by waiving, we're not saying... A waiver here isn't the same thing as saying we are approving the project in advance and now you've got cost recovery. We're just waiving that obligation to file the ADP at that point in time. And if you think we could possibly try to fool you, you think that if you thought there was risk before for not asking an ADP, if we ever tried to pull the wool over the commission's eyes and then come back in a couple of years and ask for recovery, that would obviously not work either. So I think that it's maybe worth the effort to provide a very succinct waiver request with just the facts. That would be fairly easy for us to do. And if there's any doubt in the commission's mind at all that, then just say no, go through with the normal ADP process that you would have otherwise gone through, and we'll like, oh, okay. Then we'll do that. But it does provide at least the ability or the flexibility to say, here's something that we've never contemplated before when we were making those ADP commitments. You guys might, you might be busy on a bunch of other things. Here's an opportunity to not have us file an ADP in that case. We still take the risk of cost recovery down the road. If we don't file an ADP, that's all on us. But we might be willing to take that risk if it's a, I hate to use the word no-brainer, but if it's a no-brainer kind of project, we may be willing to take that risk. So
we haven't really gotten any input yet from staff, and have been conversations going between the company and staff on this, indicating that you guys thought it was a good idea. So, Jerry, why don't you chime in, and anybody else from the staff standpoint who have thoughts on this?
Well, the statute was voluntary. It was envisioned, the legislative intent in this thing was that the company could come and ask for an ADP if they wanted to. And I know that they gave that up in this order because it was a settlement agreement and said, we will do it. But it just seems like it wasn't quite the intent of the legislature. So it twisted around, and this is where we're at. I think that where we probably should have been the whole time was a rulemaking to do a resource plan.
I disagree, Jerry. It was clearly the intent of the legislature to let the companies come in early to get ADP so they could have certainty of cost recovery. I disagree with you completely because I've had this
certainty of cost recovery.
That's what it was all about. The companies wanted the certainty to come in for cost recovery
at their request.
At their request, yeah. These were company file bills.
This is different,
right?
This
but it still
mandates it. This is at our mandate, not their request.
Yeah, I just pointing out that it was intended to be voluntary in the statute, and there's. I know you told me to shut up, but
I didn't say that at all. But I say voluntary, meaning the companies wanted this. It wasn't voluntary in this thing. Never mind. They wanted this. Yes, it's voluntary to do it, but clearly companies wanted ADP. So when you say they wanted it, it wasn't like they said, it's okay.
But we've always avoided approving an action plan in an IRP.
Right.
If it was required that it be approved before they go forward with the action, then and we'd have the same. We'd be on an equal par with Minnesota. And so that's just my thought on it.
How does that relate to this?
Yeah, tie it back, Chair.
Yeah. I know it does. But
we're using the ADP statute to accomplish the goal of requiring an approval of the stuff beforehand.
So we're basically using the ADP as our.
As our IRP.
Resource planning.
Agreed. Yeah. And that was my comment, that maybe a little bit off the cuff, but if we're going to go down the road of waiving it, then just get rid of it. Because we've just continued to go deeper and deeper in this turmoiling. If we're going to give them the ability to waive it, then that means the company, we're giving them the ability to make these calls and take these heat. So then just give it, just take it out.
I think there's additional benefits to having a waiver here, aside from what we were talking about even with this transmission. So I didn't want to get into it too much until our 2:30 time hits. But, I mean, it does add additional flexibility. I know there's issues with them, the filing dates and what the company, I guess, what they have told us they were going to do. They've essentially said that at certain filing dates at a certain point in time, they'll file an ADP. Now, sometimes that may require us additionally 4 or 5 ADPs as opposed to just a single one when they know what resource they want to bring forward. So at that point in time, instead of triggering it early, we could say, well, we'll waive it for 3 months till everything gets squared away, and then we'll take a look at that resource and tell you whether that's prudent or not. And so the waiver side, it adds a little more flexibility. Again, this I'm getting a little ahead of our informal for the 2:30 though.
So. Well, maybe it's a good time to Madam Chair, to wrap this up and move on. But
no, I have one more question on this one specifically.
Okay, then just to the company is or is not wanting us to act on this 1:30 session to remove it completely. What is it you want on this? Do you still want us to remove everything in the transmission line? Or what do you want now?
I would suggest no, that we tend to favor the concept that we'll be talking about.
Okay, so you no longer want a motion that you don't like your draft motion anymore?
We're less inclined to take the option where you remove the transmission from the commitment.
Okay, because your proposed order wanted us to approve it. Do you still want that proposed order? Or now you're just basically saying you want to withdraw this?
So.
I think that makes sense. I mean, we had submitted this, over the summer, and then as we move towards the one that's at 2:30, I think it does make sense to look at the flexibility.
Well, after Commissioner Crispin's request, then if you just want to withdraw this, it's easy. That's right.
Oh, Pat, did you have something to add?
Oh, withdrawing the.
Okay.
It's discussed.
Why 50 miles? Why not 25 or 40, 75, 100?
I think that's Susan's number that she came up with, because I asked that same question.
That's what the existing, okay.
50 megawatts, 50 miles.
I don't think there was a lot of science behind that number. It was just kind of a guess.
Okay, that's significant enough.
Yeah. I didn't know where that came from, so okay.
It's probably related to cost in some way. I mean, something smaller.
Well, we just wanted to isolate the largest projects, and we had 50 megawatts, and it seemed kind of convenient to go to 50 miles, and so.
That was part of the of a stipulation, wasn't it?
Yeah, settlement. Yeah.
And so, I mean, there are, in it, when you get to negotiating settlement agreements and everything, there are give and take. And that was one of the give and takes, I guess. And so there are other things that are involved with the requirement. So something was negotiated along with the requirement for them to file the ADPs on these lines and generation. And I'm not sure what the trade-off was because I wasn't part of the negotiation. And maybe we don't need to go there at all, but maybe we can move on into the next case.
Before we move on, I just wanted to mention, I believe there are a couple of cases where utilities have not filed an ADP. I don't think that MDU filed one.
They're not directed to, just Auditor Excel.
Right, but, I mean, you were talking earlier about the companies wanted the ADP because they wanted assurances, but there are times where the companies have not other companies have not filed an ADP because the amount of the project they believed was such that it wasn't warranted.
But the Big Stone was the backdrop behind this. MDU and Otter Tail definitely wanted ADP before they go farther in Big Stone. So they put together this legislation so ADP could be potentially given to those two big companies. I think Excel got pulled into it because the commission was frustrated with continuing to go down a resource planning mode that they didn't like. And to the Jerry's point, you're right on. That's what they did with it, and I've followed through with that. But so you'll put a request in to withdraw this, is what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Okay. Well, we have just a couple minutes. We can just conclude this meeting, take a short break. Let's try to come back though and get started right at 2:30. So there isn't much of a break at all. We'll conclude the work session on case number PU-07. I'm sorry, informal. And does the company offer up all your testimony as part of the record on this case?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. So we'll conclude the informal on case number PU-07-776 and be back on in 4 minutes.